This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. For the Lone Star State's 150,000 prison inmates, the heat we have here in New York is even worse. It can prove deadly. Less than a third of Texas prisons have air conditioning, and prisons turn into human ovens, as you might expect, where temperatures regularly exceed 100 degrees. Over the past couple of decades, 20 inmates in that state have died from dangerous conditions. A class action lawsuit on behalf of the Wallace Pack Unit, which houses 1,400 mostly elderly inmates, has been filed against the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. Wallace Nader is an attorney with the Texas Civil Rights Project and is representing those in the Wallace Pack Unit. She says the issue of air conditioning in prison has evolved a lot in the last three decades.
Relatively recently, we have had a number of lawsuits come about challenging the lack of air conditioning in Texas prisons, and that's been a result of numerous people, at least 20 people since 1998, dying due to the extreme temperatures.
And is it the case that as more and more places outside prison acquire air conditioning, it becomes a kind of social norm, than to have it absent in prison becomes more of an issue of social justice rather than some frill that can be argued and disputed about in state legislatures?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think in Texas, in particular, air conditioning is absolutely the norm. And, you know, that is in part probably because of the increase in technology and the availability of air conditioning as something that we can have in our homes. But ultimately, you know, we have air conditioning in part because it gets so hot here in Texas, and the heat becomes dangerous and deadly. And so it's a matter of not just feeling comfortable, but a matter of being safe and protecting yourself from something that is, as I said, can be extremely dangerous and deadly.
What do you say to the people in Texas who argue that, well, hey, we got a free punitive benefit to the prisons that we didn't anticipate when we built them? If it's harder for them, fine.
Well, the first thing I would say is that the Constitution prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. The punishment is taking away their liberty, but that doesn't mean that we can place them in torturous conditions or cruel conditions. And the fact of the matter is that when you place inmates in indoor dormitories where the heat reaches over 100 degrees during the summer on a regular basis, these are deadly conditions, and that's cruel. And then the second thing is that these are human beings. We have to think about it that way. You know, I was reading an article recently about an officer who left his dog in the car and the dog died, and the officer is being charged for animal cruelty, and he might lose his ability to continue being a law enforcement officer if he is ultimately convicted of that. And so, you know, when that happens to animals, people have this strong reaction. And yet when you put humans in the same condition just because they committed a crime, it seems to not have people react less strongly. And so, you know, these are human beings, and the Constitution has certain mandates that really are there to protect us all.
Why is it the case that in this Wallace Pack Unit, drinking water to try to cool off and to, you know, maintain your health in these hot conditions is not necessarily going to help you?
TDCJ, the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, has said that one of their main mitigation measures where the heat is concerned is water and providing water to the inmates. And yet at the PAC unit, the water has been tested with arsenic levels at 2.5 to 4 times the Environmental Protection Agency's mandated limits. And so when the PAC unit tells inmates to drink 2 gallons of water a day or lots and lots of water a day in order to protect themselves from the heat, they're ultimately consuming more of that poisonous water.
Wallace Nader is a staff attorney at the Texas Civil Rights Project. She spoke with us from KPFT, member station in Houston, Texas. Wallace, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.